ever catch yourself, like thinking about how the world might end?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a question that sort of pops up now and then, doesn't it? Especially when like things in the world feel a bit shaky.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, today we're diving deep, like really deep, into one specific take on that huge question. We're looking at this YouTube video. It's called How the World NDS, According to the Bible Shore, Full Timeline and Guide by Dan Bergman.
I've seen that one. It's gotten a lot of attention.
Yeah, for sure. So our mission, if you will, is to unpack the timeline and the key events laid out in that video, all about the end times from a biblical interpretation perspective.
Right. And the video really does dive deep into some fascinating and, let's be honest, pretty intense stuff from Scripture. It paints a picture of a period that's both, transformative and incredibly challenging.
For sure. And it's interesting how different terms are used to describe this period. The apocalypse, the tribulation period, even things like the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, or the day of the Lord.
Yeah, lots of different labels, but they all point to the same general idea. A time of significant global upheaval, and a divine judgment.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics. One of the first things the video lays out is that this tribulation period is understood to last for 7 years. That's like a pretty defined time frame. Where does that come from?
That 7-year period is primarily rooted in the book of Daniel, specifically chapter 9. There's a prophecy in that chapter that many interpreters understand to be referring to this 7-year tribulation. And what's really interesting, the video highlights that this period is believed to be triggered by a specific event, the Antichrist confirming a peace treaty between Israel and its enemies.
So this isn't just any peace treaty. This is like the starting gun for this intense 7-year period. And the Antichrist plays a central role, obviously. What does the video tell us about this figure?
Well, at the time the video is made, the Antichrist hadn't been revealed, of course, but drawing on scriptural interpretations, the video says that he is believed to be a man of Roman descent, a powerful military leader, and ultimately controlled by Satan himself. So you can see how this peace treaty he confirms is not just a regular diplomatic agreement, it has huge spiritual implications.
So there's a purpose behind this tribulation. It's not just random chaos.
Exactly. The video outlines two main objectives. First, it's a time of God pouring out his wrath, his judgment, on a world that has rejected him. It's like the plagues in Egypt, but on a global scale.
Okay.
And second, it's a period intended to bring Israel to a national recognition of Jesus as the Messiah. It's suggested that this turning point for Israel occurs towards the end of the 7 years. So it's divine judgment for the world and a specific plan for Israel.
Got it. So within this 7-year period, there are three sets of judgments: seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and vial judgments.
Yep, that's right.
Can you break down how those are structured?
Sure. The video explains these as three consecutive sequences of judgments that unfold throughout the tribulation. The seal judgments come first, revealed as Jesus opens the seals on a scroll. Then the trumpet judgments follow, and finally, the vial or bowl judgments. And they get progressively worse.
Worse? How much worse are we talking?
Well, some estimations suggest that a staggering 99% of the world's population could perish by the time these judgments run their course.
99%. That's almost impossible to fathom. Okay, let's start with those seal judgments. What happens when the first seal is opened?
The first seal reveals a white horse and its rider. The rider carries a bow and is given a crown. He's going forth conquering and to conquer.
Sounds triumphant.
Right, but it's not. The video interprets this as the Antichrist establishing a false sense of peace and security at the beginning of the 7 years. And they link it back to Jesus's warning in Matthew 24, where he talks about false messiahs deceiving many. So this conquering rider on the white horse, it's a deceptive peace.
Okay, a false peace. What about the second seal?
The second seal unleashes a red horse, symbolizing war. The rider of this horse takes peace from the earth. There's widespread bloodshed and violence. Basically, the false peace is shattered, giving way to global conflict.
War and rumors of wars, like in Matthew 24.
Exactly.
And after this period of intense war, what comes next?
The third seal brings a black horse, and this one symbolizes famine. The rider holds a pair of scales, and a voice declares that food, basic staples like wheat and barley, will become super expensive. The video ties this back to Jesus's words in Matthew 24 about famines being a sign of the end times.
So economic hardship, widespread hunger, the fourth seal doesn't sound any better.
It's pretty grim. The fourth seal brings a pale horse. Its rider is named Death, and Hades follows behind him. This judgment kills a fourth of the earth's population through war, famine, disease, and wild animals. It's a staggering number.
Yeah, 1/4 of the population. Yeah. Wow, the fifth seal, though, shifts the focus a little, right? It's about believers.
Yeah, the fifth seal reveals the souls of those who've been martyred for their faith during the tribulation. They come to believe in Jesus after the rapture, which the video presents as happening before the tribulation. They cry out for justice.
So even amidst all this chaos and judgment, people are still coming to faith, but facing persecution for it.
Right. And that lines up with Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 24 about believers facing affliction and martyrdom.
Okay, and finally, the sixth seal. This is where things get really apocalyptic.
You could say that. The sixth seal unleashes a ton of cosmic events. Huge earthquake, the sun turns black, the moon becomes blood, stars fall, the sky recedes like a scroll, mountains and islands are moved. The video emphasizes that even the most powerful people will hide, terrified of God's wrath. It's pure global panic.
Right in the middle of all this, the video introduces the 144,000. Who are they?
Revelation chapter 7 introduces these individuals. They are 12,000 Jewish men from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they receive a seal on their foreheads from God, a mark of protection during this time.
Okay, and Revelation 14 adds more details about them, right?
Yeah, it says they have God's name written on their foreheads. They are redeemed. They are virgins who follow the Lamb, Jesus, wherever he goes. They are first fruits to God, without fault, acting as evangelists during the tribulation, basically.
The video specifically addresses the Jehovah's Witnesses' interpretation of the 144,000. Why is that important to mention?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that these 144,000 are the only ones who go to heaven to rule with Christ, and the rest of the righteous live on a paradise earth.
Okay.
The video, however, suggests that this interpretation may be misinterpreting Scripture. It emphasizes that the Bible identifies them as a specific group of Jewish men who appear during the tribulation. And it distinguishes between the millennial reign of Christ on earth, a 1,000-year period, and the eternal state in the new heavens and new earth.
So two distinct stages of God's plan.
Exactly.
Okay, so after the sixth seal and the 144,000, we move into the trumpet judgments.
Right, which begin with the opening of the seventh seal.
And these ramp up the judgments even more.
Definitely. The opening of the seventh seal itself is dramatic. There's silence in heaven for about half an hour, this profound stillness, before the next wave of judgment hits. Then, seven angels are given seven trumpets. Each trumpet brings a new judgment.
Okay, so first trumpet sounds, what happens?
The first trumpet brings hail and fire mixed with blood, cast down to the earth. A third of all the trees are burned up, all the green grass is destroyed. And the video points out the ecological disaster this would cause, you know, the impact on oxygen and resources.
Yeah, massive environmental catastrophe. What about the second trumpet?
That one unleashes something described as a great mountain burning with fire hurled into the sea. Turns a third of the sea into blood, kills a third of the sea creatures, destroys a third of the ships. So yeah, the oceans are heavily impacted.
Okay, third trumpet.
A great star called Wormwood falls from heaven, lands in a third of the rivers and springs, poisons the waters. People die from drinking the contaminated water, so not just the oceans, but now the fresh water is affected too.
So, salt water and fresh water are under attack. The fourth trumpet, according to the video, brings darkness. How does that play out?
The fourth trumpet strikes a third of the sun, moon, and stars. Doesn't extinguish them, but it dims them significantly, leading to much less light during the day and night.
So on top of everything else, there's this added element of suffering and darkness. The video then mentions this this angelic proclamation, whoa, whoa, whoa. Doesn't sound good.
No, it's a warning. This angel flies through heaven before the final three trumpet judgments, the fifth, sixth, and seventh. It's a sign that things are about to get even more intense.
And with the fifth trumpet, we get those terrifying demonic locusts.
Right. A star falls to earth and is given the key to the bottomless pit. When the pit opens, a massive cloud of smoke rises, darkening the sun and air. Out of this smoke come these locusts that have the power to sting like scorpions.
Oh, that's creepy.
They're commanded not to harm the vegetation, but to torment people who don't have the seal of God for 5 months. And they can't kill, so people will be in agony, seeking death, but unable to find it. The video even describes what they look like. Horses prepared for battle, crowns, faces like men, hair like women, teeth like lions. It's pretty vivid.
They sound like creatures from a nightmare. And then the sixth trumpet brings this massive army.
A massive army indeed. The sixth trumpet releases four angels who are bound at the Euphrates River. They're given command over an army of 200 million horsemen. This army kills a third of humanity with plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that come from the horses' mouths. Oh, and the horses' tails are like serpents with heads that can inflict harm. The video emphasizes that the world population is drastically reduced at this point, and sadly, even those who survive these plagues still don't repent.
So the death toll keeps rising.
Unfortunately, yes.
The seventh trumpet is a little different, though. It's marked by praise in heaven. Yeah. What's the significance of that?
The seventh trumpet is unique. It's accompanied by voices in heaven proclaiming that God's kingdom has come and his reign is forever. It's like, amidst all the chaos, acknowledging God's ultimate power. There are also earthly signs, lightning, thunder, an earthquake, and hail. The video suggests this happens around the midpoint of the tribulation, maybe a turning point where God's intervention becomes more direct.
Around this midpoint, we also have the two witnesses. Who are they and what's their role?
Revelation 11 introduces these two figures. They prophesy in Jerusalem for 12,260 days. That's 3.5 years, probably in the latter half of the tribulation after the third temple is rebuilt. They are given incredible power. Fire comes out of their mouths and devours anyone who tries to harm them. They can stop rain, turn water into blood, and strike the earth with plagues. Really powerful figures.
The video discusses their possible identities, right?
Yeah, the video says their identities aren't explicitly stated in the Bible, but based on their descriptions and powers, there are some strong theories.
Like who?
The most likely candidates are Elijah, who called down fire from heaven and stopped the rain, and Moses, who turned water into blood and brought plagues. Plus, they both appeared with Jesus at the Transfiguration. Enoch is another possibility, though less likely.
So what happens to these two powerful witnesses?
Their testimony lasts for 12,060 days, and then the beast, the Antichrist, rises from the bottomless pit and makes war against them. He overpowers and kills them. Their bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, a spectacle for the whole world to see, probably through some kind of advanced technology. And the people of Earth actually rejoice over their deaths and celebrate by sending gifts to each other. It's pretty chilling.
That's a dark turn, but it doesn't end there, does it?
No. After 3.5 days, God breathes life back into them. They stand up and everyone is terrified. Then a voice from heaven calls them up and they ascend into heaven in a cloud. And right after that, a huge earthquake hits Jerusalem, destroying a tenth of the city and killing 7,000 people. The video notes that some of the survivors actually give glory to God after witnessing all this.
The video then moves on to what it calls the unholy trinity. That sounds like Satan's twisted version of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you got it. The video uses that term to describe Satan's counterfeits of the Godhead. It's detailed in Revelation 12 and 13.
And who are these figures?
First, there's the dragon, who is identified as Satan himself. He's the one who persecutes Israel. Then there's the beast, who rises out of the sea, representing the Gentile nations. He's the Antichrist, receiving power and authority from the dragon. He gets a deadly wound, but it's miraculously healed, and this causes the whole world to be deceived and worship him and the dragon. Lastly, there's the false prophet who rises out of the earth, possibly representing Israel. He looks gentle, like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. His job is to make the world worship the first beast.
And it's this false prophet who introduces the mark of the beast, right?
Yes, exactly. He implements this system where everyone has to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead. Without it, they can't buy or sell anything. It's like total economic control. The mark itself is either the name of the beast or the number of his name, 666, the number of a man, signifying that the Antichrist, while powerful, is not divine.
The consequences for taking this mark sound pretty dire.
Extremely dire. The video is very clear about the consequences of receiving the mark and worshiping the beast. It leads to God's wrath, eternal torment in fire and sulfur. It's a point of no return, a permanent seal of condemnation. It also connects the mark to the Antichrist, revealing himself as God in the temple, the abomination of desolation. The video even brings up the possibility of technology, like electronic tattoos or microchips, being used for this mark. It then contrasts this fate with those who refuse the mark, who will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, you know, after the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire.
So a pretty stark choice.
You could say that.
After the mark, we have the final set of judgments. The vile judgments, or bowl judgments. What happens here?
These are the most intense judgments. Seven angels pour out seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. The first bowl causes horrible sores on those who have the mark of the beast. The second turns the sea into blood, killing all sea life. The third turns the rivers and springs into blood as well.
It's like an amplification of those plagues from Egypt, but affecting the entire world.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets even more intense. The fourth bowl brings scorching heat from the sun. But despite all this suffering, the video says people still refuse to repent. The fifth bowl plunges the beast's kingdom into darkness, and the pain causes people to gnaw their tongues, but they still curse God. The sixth bowl dries up the Euphrates River, preparing the way for the kings of the east to advance towards Israel. And demonic spirits, like frogs, come from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet to deceive the world leaders and gather them for the Battle of Armageddon.
Armageddon, that name carries a lot of weight. The video says it's more than just one battle, though, right?
Right, it's not just one battle, but more of a campaign where the armies of the world gather in Israel, specifically in the Valley of Jezreel near Megiddo. This happens at the end of the tribulation. The video suggests the involvement of nations like Gog and Magog, the king of the north, the king of the south, Libya, and Ethiopia, all united in their goal to destroy Israel. And it emphasizes the spiritual aspect, Satan's hatred for God's chosen people.
So this isn't just a political conflict. There's a deeper spiritual war going on.
Exactly. And the key point is that Jesus returns at the height of this conflict to rescue Israel. They finally recognize him as their Messiah. The armies are defeated by Jesus, and the video even mentions birds feasting on the carcasses, as prophesied in Ezekiel. This is Jesus returning as King of Kings, not the humble Lamb of God he was in his first coming.
And the seventh and final bowl judgment.
The seventh bowl is poured into the air, and a voice from heaven declares, "It is done." Then there's thunder, lightning, the biggest earthquake ever. The great city, likely Jerusalem, is split into three parts. Cities all over the world collapse. Islands and mountains disappear. Huge hailstones fall on people. But even then, they continue to blaspheme God. It's a picture of utter devastation, but also humanity's continued rebellion.
So the picture painted here is one of intense judgment and destruction. As we wrap up this deep dive into this specific interpretation of biblical prophecy, what are the key takeaways for someone listening?
The tribulation is a seriously challenging time. 7 years of escalating judgments, global chaos, suffering, and ultimately divine intervention.
But the video ends on a note of hope, specifically for those who are prepared before all this happens.
Yes, definitely. The video stresses the idea of the rapture happening before the tribulation, where believers are taken up to be with Jesus. It's God rescuing his people from the wrath to come.
So the message is to get right with God now, before it's too late.
Exactly. The video is an invitation to examine your relationship with Jesus Christ and make sure you're saved. Because if these events do come to pass, you want to be ready.
Well, this has certainly given us a lot to think about. So after hearing all of this, what resonates with you the most? What questions does it raise for you about your own faith, the future, and the nature of hope?
Yeah, it definitely makes you think.
It sure does.